It's baseball season, and over the last 167 years, America's pastime has developed a language all its own. This hour, the language of baseball. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. English language expert Patricia O'Connor is here today. She's the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language, and she blogs at grammarphobia.com. Today, we will decode the language of baseball. It doesn't matter if you're in the bullpen or the catbird seat, you can give us a call with your favorite baseball lingo and, of course, your language questions. Or send email, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's time to play ball. This hour, we're going to decode the language of baseball. And with me is English language expert Patricia O'Connor. She is the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language. And she blogs at grammarphobia.com. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
It's my pleasure.
Well, then I suppose we better start with the word baseball, although that one seems fairly self-explanatory.
Yeah. It does. It's a game played with bats, balls, and it involves bases. Actually, the word baseball actually precedes the game as we know it. It was first recorded in the 1740s in England, where a family of closely related bat and ball games arose in the 18th centuries, and such games were later called rounders in England. But if you're a Jane Austen fan, you can actually find the term baseball, written as two words, in her novel Northanger Abbey, written in the late 1790s. And it's probably a reference to a game similar to rounders. But the modern game, which, as we know it, began in the 1840s in the United States, and it had different names. It was called baseball, two words, in New York and the Great Lakes region, town ball in Philadelphia southwards, and round ball in New England. And the only reason it's now called baseball is because the rules of the game were formalized in New York City, and that was where the dominant name was baseball.
Although I don't think round ball would have stuck anyway.
I don't think so either. all balls are round, right?
Right. As far as I know. Well, no, not footballs, but...
Well, that's true. That's true.
Still seems like that one wouldn't really have stuck around.
Right. You mentioned you started the show by saying play ball. And as we know, that's sort of that call is kind of the harbinger of spring. For a lot of people, spring isn't really here until daffodils and baseball. And this expression means that it's spring in America and the baseball season is on. It was first used in the 1890s to mean, umpires used it to mean more or less, get on with it, let's continue the game. But Cy Young is first credited with using it in 1905 to mean, let's start the baseball game. And from there it became, let's start the baseball season.
You know, it's interesting because obviously, again, that's another phrase that's very self-explanatory. It's
right.
Not really unique language to baseball, but the way it's said
exactly.
Is unique to baseball.
Exactly. Peter Uberoth once said that the best words, the most fun words in our language are play ball. These words conjure up home runs and strikeouts, extra innings and double plays. Play ball is what baseball is all about. It's call to arms. And there isn't a baseball fan who isn't a little excited over the beginning of a new season. That has to be true.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Now, let's get into some of the weirder language of baseball. And
mm-hmm.
There are a lot of baseball terms that have either come from other parts of our language or extended to other parts of
mm-hmm.
our language. And,
mm-hmm.
and catbirds. Catbird seed is one of those for sure.
Right, right. Well, the catbird is actually a real bird. It's sometimes called the gray cat bird. It got its name because it sounds like a cat. It sits in a tree and it goes, ew, ew. It's true. We have them out here in Connecticut. And the expression catbird seat reportedly refers to the bird's habit of perching high up in an exposed position. In other words, a superior position or one of advantage. And so catbird seed grew to mean a superior or advantageous position. And it apparently originated in the American South, but it was popularized in baseball by the sportscaster Red Barber, probably in the 30s. Barber said in his autobiography that he got the expression from a poker-playing buddy in Cincinnati. After this friend raked in a big pot, he told Red Barber, "I had those aces from the start. I was sitting in the catbird seat." And then he used to use that in his broadcasting, and it was picked up by James Thurber in the 40s. Thurber wrote a story for The New Yorker in 1942 called The Catbird Seat. And in it, one of the characters says, sitting in the catbird seat means sitting pretty like a batter with three balls and no strikes on him. And a character says he picked up the expression while listening to Red Barber do play-by-play for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Oh, interesting. And that article by James Thurber used to be in the spare bedroom at my grandparents'
house.
Oh,
really?
I read that as a child out of extreme boredom.
So you were all prepared for the start of the baseball season.
Right. Perhaps. All right, let's talk about bullpen.
Well, the bullpen, it actually is an adaptation, again, another adaptation of an ordinary English word. Bullpen used to have a pretty literal expression. It was a pen for controlling livestock. And later it was used for any kind of enclosed area, so it became a term in a lockup or a prison. If you were in the bullpen, you were in lockup. And it was first used in baseball around 1913 for a place where separate place where pitchers warmed up. And later it became used to mean the pitching staff itself. So you might say, oh, the Rockies have a lot of strength in the bullpen this year, meaning the pitching staff.
Hmm. Interesting. And here's one. I use this all the time, and I didn't. Actually, I'm not a big baseball fan, I'll admit. I didn't know it came from baseball, and that's wheelhouse.
Right. Well, actually, wheelhouse was also another ordinary word adapted for baseball. The wheelhouse in the early 19th century originally meant a building for storing cart wheels, and later it came to mean a structure enclosing a wheel, as in the pilot house on a boat or the enclosure for a paddle wheel on a steamer. Thus, a wheelhouse, actually it could be part of a mill, any enclosure for a big wheel. Now, later in baseball, wheelhouse came to mean the area of a strike zone where a particular batter is able to hit the ball most forcefully or successfully. So a pitcher might pitch right into his wheelhouse, meaning, bam, he's got a good hit. Now, if you know where that hitter's wheelhouse is, of course, you'd want to pitch to the outside of it or the inside of it. So that's how wheelhouse came about.
Interesting. And, of course, we've adopted that and use it in many different arenas
life Since now. Right, baseball, you come to say, oh, that term is in my wheelhouse, meaning I've studied it, or bit of computer coding is in my wheelhouse because I've done it before. I know how to do it. So, yeah, it's had a pretty wide adaptation after baseball.
Absolutely. And I want to mention before we get to the break that if you'd like to join our conversation, if you have a favorite baseball term that you'd like to share or one that you have questions about, you're welcome to join the conversation at 866-780-9100. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And in just a few minutes, Pat also has a few really oddball terms that she'll throw out and see if you can recognize them or give us a definition. But let's move on to schneid next.
Yeah, schneid is, it comes to baseball again from another source. It had its origin in cards, first used in games of cards. It's derived from the term Schneider, a word that means a tailor or one who cuts cloth in German and Yiddish. And Schneid moved on into card games when it came to mean a winning streak or sometimes a losing streak. And to be on the Schneid meant to be on a losing streak, while get off the Schneid meant to breaking the streak. And that later migrated into ball games, not only baseball, but football, basketball, and other sports. But it came from cards.
Very interesting. Now, you think that in baseball, very common terms, fast mm-hmm. and quick, seem to have different meanings.
Yes, and I've talked about this to a lot of other baseball fans, and they agree. Fast and quick in baseball terminology seem to have different uses. Fast has to do with pure speed, pitching speed, leg speed, ability to cover a lot of ground in a short time, whereas quick is about having rapid reflexes or being economical in one's movements. For example, you might speak of a quick release by a pitcher or fielder throwing a ball, or a quick start by a player running to catch a ball or steal a base. But when discussing pitchers, for instance, fast is most often used in discussing merely the speed of his pitches from mound to plate. You could say of the same pitcher, he's got a quick move to first, meaning he has fast reflexes, but he has a fast arm.
Oh, that's interesting. And on the subject of pitchers, now that's a term that means a couple of different things. Of course,
right.
We can put liquids in a pitcher, but how did it come to mean the person who stands on the mound and throws the ball?
Well, it didn't actually. Those come from two different sources. The verb pitch means to throw or to thrust, and it's a very old word. It was known in Old English, and it has very ancient roots in Germanic languages. As you know, I've talked about this before, English is a Germanic language, and pitch comes from old Germanic sources for throwing and thrusting, and that's how we got the word pitcher, the noun that means someone who throws. Now, the pitcher that's a jug or a container comes from a whole other area. That's from ancient Greek, and it comes from the word for an earthen vessel. So, not related at all.
All right. Just sound the same and are spelled the same.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We already have a few callers on the line, but you're welcome to join the conversation with your questions or your favorite baseball lingo. Pat has a couple more items to talk about, and she's also got some stumpers to throw out to you. And you can join our conversation. The number 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. I'm talking with English language expert Patricia O'Connor.
Yes, Jackie hit that ball.
And when he swung his bat, the crowd went wild, because he knocked that ball a solid mile. Yeah, boy.
Yes, yes, Jackie hit that ball.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are decoding the language of baseball with our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor. She blogs at grammarphobia.com and joins us several times a year to talk about the English language. And of course, you're welcome to join our conversation as well with your favorite baseball terms or questions about baseball terminology. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we will get to the phones in just a second. But one of the interesting observations you've made, Pat, is that not only does baseball have interesting language, but interesting grammar as well.
Yes, it does. I get a lot of mail around baseball season from people who are curious about the expression flied out, F-L-I-E-D, out. They'll say, you know, this sportscaster said the guy flied out. What is he, illiterate? The past tense of fly is flew. Well, not in baseball. This is an abnormally formed past tense, which isn't unusual in English, but in baseball, the past tense and past participle of the verb fly when it means to hit a fly ball is flied, not flew. According to dictionaries, flied is the only acceptable past tense in the baseball sense of the word. Now, this usage dates back to the 1870s. There was a story in the Boston Globe about a game between the Boston Red Stockings and the Philadelphia Athletics that said, "Cuthbert flied out to Harry Wright." That's the first use of that word. And there's another example. The OED has an example from the Chicago Tribune. In a game between the Chicago Colts and the Boston Bean Eaters, I love that name, Kittredge flied out to Brody. Now, why flied? There's a very good reason for this. The verb to fly out is derived not from the old verb fly, but from the noun fly, a baseball term for a fly ball that originated in 1860. Now, in English, new verbs are typically given modern ED endings in the past tense. This is particularly true when we make a verb out of a noun, even if this new verb is related to an earlier one that has an irregular ending. Another example is, you know, the past tense of stand is stood, but for the verb, the noun grandstand, when it became a verb grandstand, as in to grandstand, we formed the past tense as grandstanded, not grandstood. So even though the sports noun is based on the old irregular verb fly, the new verb arising as a back formation from that noun is given a modern ED ending. Now, similarly in baseball, the past tense of drive is drived, as in to line drive. We say he line-drived. We don't say he line-drove. As it would say, he line-drived to first. This is another legitimate past tense.
That is so interesting. So if somebody, let's say, who came from the real world and then mm-hmm. became a sportscaster,
right.
said flew out, would they get a whole bunch of mail and say
said
that wrong?
Yes.
You have to learn the language if you're going to speak it right.
That's incorrect. Yes.
That's so interesting. All right. Well, let's get to the phones. And before we do that, I know that you brought a whole list of really oddball terms, Pat.
Right.
So let's throw that first one out there.
Okay.
And
how about Linda Ronstadt? What is a Linda Ronstadt
all
in
right.
baseball?
All right.
If
and,
anyone knows that.
And you can call us with your answer at 866-780-9100. And we'll give Christopher from Dumont a chance on that one. Do you know what a Linda Ronstadt is in baseball, Christopher?
No, I have no idea.
All right. Well, you can ask your question anyway.
What does the term Sydney or the Bush mean? Is it a baseball term?
Now, what was that first word?
Sydney?
Sydney.
Sydney.
Yeah. Like Sydney,
like the name
Australia.
Sydney.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I have Dixon's
S-Y-
baseball dictionary here in front of me.
S Y D N E Y.
S Y D. Okay, I'm looking in the wrong place. You know, I don't know. Why don't you go ahead and tell us?
Well, but you
don't know,
right? But where did you hear it?
No, give I us don't. A... You're the expert. I thought
oh.
you would know.
But where did you hear it? Where does this come from?
I read it out of a Charlie Brown comic book. Charlie Brown was telling Sally to go out there, like, that's the spirit, go for broke. And then Sally says, Sydney or the Bush. And then Charlie Brown's like, Sydney or the Bush?
You know, it's not in Paul Dixon's baseball dictionary. So
okay.
Who knows? Maybe
okay.
was there another player named Sydney? And he was supposed to hit it to Sydney, or?
If it's me, it's, I thought you know, you're saying, you know, throwing out these stumpers, you know, questions, you know, this odd list of terminology. I thought maybe you would maybe have one. Maybe it could be in your list, or, you know, you would have the answer to that.
Well, it was worth a try.
I don't have an answer for that one.
All right, Christopher, okay. Thank you so much.
Yep.
All right.
Welcome.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Next up, let's go to Tom in Des Moines. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Hi there. Do you know what a Linda Ronstadt is in baseball terms?
Well, Linda was famous for singing torch songs. Does that give a clue what they're referring
that
to?
That is a sort of a clue. One of her songs is the answer to the question.
Oh, Blue Bayou?
That's right.
Oh,
that is a
that's
fastball
it.
That Blue Bayou.
Yeah, I thought I'd heard that before.
All right, that's great. And what did you want to talk about, Tom?
Well, I'm a big baseball fan, and you'd have to know something about Linda Ronstadt in baseball. But I'm really familiar with the George Carlin monologue comparing baseball and football. And that really enriches the whole conversation about what language can be brought, what can be brought to the baseball language. George Carlin is famous for his incomparable voice inflections and how he compares the two sports. And I thought this would really bring a lot to the discussion about what baseball is all about. And, you know, the Jackie Robinson song that you played before the break?
Yeah.
It has kind of a languid pace, and baseball mm-hmm. is known for its languidness.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlin brings that into his monologue, how baseball is language and football is brutal and
mm-hmm.
and very technological and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I would love to read in public sometime just the whole thing. I couldn't possibly, you know, do his voice inflections in the proper way. But
I'm going to look it up on YouTube. It's there.
I have it in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And I could read, like, the first three or four lines that would...
sure, you can do that.
...to give you a sense if you haven't heard it before.
Yeah,
but it is marvelous for those who haven't heard it. You know, he starts off by saying, baseball is a 19th century pastoral game. Football is a 20th century technological struggle. Baseball is played on a diamond in a park, the baseball park. Football is played on a gridiron in a stadium sometimes called Soldier Field or War Memorial Stadium. Baseball begins in the spring, the season of new beginnings. Football begins in the fall when everything's dying.
Oh, Tom, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's great. Have a great day.
Mm. Yeah, there is something pastoral and, I don't know, peaceful, relaxing about baseball.
Well, when you said that quick and fast have a different terminology in baseball, I thought, yeah. All right. Do you have another stumper to throw out there as we go to the phones?
How about a Nintendo slider?
A Nintendo slider. All right. If you know what a Nintendo slider is in baseball, you can give us a call at 866-780-9100. Hello, Tom from Newton.
Hi there. I don't know what a Nintendo slider is. I know what a slider is, which is a pitch thrown to resemble a fastball when, in fact, it actually breaks when it arrives at the plate
mm-hmm.
to fool the hitter. But a Nintendo obviously has something to do with electronic games,
I suppose.
You're very
close. Actually, a Nintendo slider is a pitch that breaks unexpectedly over the plate as if remotely controlled.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I would... disagree slightly with the, I think the term bullpen. I agree it refers to pitchers, but I think it's more accurately used to describe relief pitchers who sit in the bullpen during the course of a game.
Mm-hmm.
The expression that I've always wondered about is can of corn, that refers to a lazy fly ball to the outfield. I'm curious as to where that came from.
Can of corn. I'm looking that up right now.
And so that's a fly ball that's really easy to catch, right, Tom?
Yeah, it's a lazy, easy hit fly ball. It's easy for an outfielder to settle under it and catch it. And an announcer will often refer to that as a can of corn.
Hmm. You know, it ain't here.
All right. Well, I have another source that I already checked this out on.
Oh, you did?
Yes, and this is this is on Wikipedia, so take it with a grain of salt. But a high, easy to catch fly ball hit to the outfield. The phrase is said to have originated in the 19th century and relates to an old time grocer's method of getting canned goods down from a high shelf. Using a stick with a hook on the end, a grocer could tip a can so that it would fall for an easy catch into his apron.
Hey, what do you know?
One theory for use of corn as the canned good in the phrase is that a can of corn was considered the easiest catch, as corn was the best-selling vegetable in the store and was so heavily stocked on, or and so was heavily stocked on the lowest shelves.
Oh, you know, I'm wrong. It is here in Dixon. I just wasn't looking in the right place. And it's supposedly early 1900s, 1930s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that does that ring true for you, Tom?
It does. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks a lot for your call. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. Do you have another stumper for us, Pat?
Yeah, kangaroo hop.
Kangaroo hop. All right. Scott is on the line next in Ankeny. Hello, Scott.
Hi.
Hi. Do you know what a kangaroo hop is in baseball?
I have been involved with, watched, done everything with baseball. It's the absolute best game because it's one of the very few where you play the opponent, not the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what a kangaroo. I knew what can of corn was. But kangaroo hop, I don't know.
All right. So,
but anyhow.
What's your question?
Well, I just have three comments. One is that it's a phrase I've only heard a little bit, but it's always been tied to baseball, and it's from a little poem that Bob Uecker once recited. I've heard it a couple times.
Milwaukee
another day,
Brewers
another
announcer.
Dollar.
Yeah.
What?
Milwaukee Brewers announcer, wasn't he?
Well, he was a catcher for the St. Louis Cardinals, and one of his he would always catch Bob Gibson. And one of his great lines was one time he went out to the mound to talk to Gibson, and Gibson said, "What are you doing out here? The only thing you know about pitching is you can't hit it." But you know, he did the announcing for the Brewers, and he had a phrase. He said, "Another day, another dollar, four at bats, and wear the collar." And where the collar refers to, you got a zero. So you went 0 for 4. So you had another day, you made another dollar, and didn't do a doggone thing.
Oh.
And I haven't ever heard that in any other reference, just to baseball.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Those are fun, Scott. Thank you so much.
You bet.
You can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. We are still looking for somebody who knows what a kangaroo hop is in baseball. So you can give us a call and let us know if you know. 866-780-9100. Next, we're going to go to Nick in Ames. Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Hi. What would you like to talk about?
I was wondering about the origins of the phrase or term golden sombrero. I thought it was always sort of absurd and was just kind of silly.
That went by me. What was it? Golden
sombrero.
Golden sombrero. I'm looking.
It's when a batter strikes out 4 times in one game. So it's kind of, you don't want one of those.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Golden sombrero. A mythical award given to a batter who strikes out 4 times in a game. Is that even possible?
Yeah, it happens rarely.
Yeah, it's also silver sombrero and platinum sombrero is used. Also hat trick if it's 3 times.
Okay, so that must be taking hat trick one step farther if they, you know, cuz 3 strikes is the hat trick, right?
Yeah, yeah. And hat trick actually we think of it as an ice hockey term, but it actually comes from cricket. Believe it or not.
Interesting.
Cricket in the 19th century.
Well, I would love to know where that first originated.
You mean hat trick?
No, the golden sombrero.
Oh. I don't know.
Oh, wait. Nobody. Wait. No, I found it.
Oh, you did?
The term was coined by San Diego Padre Carmelo Martinez in the 1980s, and it first appeared in print when Leon Durham was quoted as using it in 1984.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So that doesn't give us a lot of insight, but...
Good to know, at least.
All right, Nick. Thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you.
All right. We've got a guest for the kangaroo hop. This is Doug in Osage. Hi, Doug.
Hello.
You think you know the reference to Sidney Bush, the one from Charlie Brown. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Sidney is in Australia, and the bush, that's what they call the outfield in Australia. So therefore, it is the outfield.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So would referring to Sydney mean something else?
Yeah. Well, no, it's Sydney being Australia. It's just you're going to Sydney, which means you're going to the outback or the outfield.
Okay.
Wow. So Charles Schultz was using a little Australian slang there.
All right. So now it's more Australian slang. Ken in Olwine thinks he knows what the kangaroo hop means. What is it, Ken?
Hey, Charity.
Hi.
Kangaroo hop, what we called it when I was playing Little League 30, 40 years ago, was you were playing in the outfield and the ball was hit to you and you were expecting an easy low bounce and the ball happened to hit in between the gravel and the edge of the turf and would send the ball way up in the air over the top of your head so you would miss it and then have to turn around and chase it down. That was a kangaroo hop.
Correct. Give that man the golden sombrero. Oh, no, not the golden sombrero.
Something better. Something positive. All right, Ken, thank you. You get to carry that pride with you all day long.
Thanks, ma'am.
All right, thanks.
Actually,
a lot for your
call. I wanted to say a few more things about the grammar and the syntax.
Well, and we'll do that after we get back from the break.
Okay,
how does that
great.
Sound? All right, we're talking about baseball language today. My guest is English language expert Patricia O'Connor. She is the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language. This is Talk of Iowa.
Little boy in a baseball hat stands in the field with his ball and bat. Says, I am the greatest player of them all. Puts his bat on his shoulder and he tosses up his ball. And the ball goes up and the ball comes down, swings his bat all the way around. The world's so still you can hear the sound. The baseball falls to the ground.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about baseball language, and with me is English language expert Patricia O'Connor. She blogs at grammarphobia.com and is the author of a number of books about the English language. And just before the break, Pat, you mentioned you wanted to talk a little bit more about the grammar of baseball and baseball announcing. And I also want to mention that if you want to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call at 866-780-9100. So let's talk about some of the odd language used in sports
passing. Right. So far, we've just been talking mostly about the vocabulary, but I get a lot of mail about the structure and syntax of on-air, play-by-play announcing, and it does seem to be an English all its own. For instance, on-air commentators often drop the article "the" before bullpen. They'll say, they liked him in bullpen, or he has two left-handers to call on from bullpen, or you can't throw 200 pitches in bullpen and not pay the price. You see this all the time in print, and actually, you know, I couldn't really find a lot of these things to call on in my research that were oral, but even in print you find it.
Interesting.
Now, this kind of article dropping isn't unique to sports reporting. Other journalists probably do it almost as often. I hear from people who are disturbed because reporters say things like on premises or on scene, as in, this is Anderson reporting on scene, or in studio, as in, back to Brian in studio. So this seems to be something that cropped up in journalism. I don't know why. Maybe they think it sounds crisper to leave out that article, but it's a little bit startling. Now, here's another usage that you find in live sports commentary. The speaker will leave out the subject of a sentence, then insert it at the end almost as an afterthought, as in, different player since he came up from the minors, Jones, or playing well since he got back from the injury list, Smith. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, and maybe if you don't listen to a lot of sports commentary, you probably don't hear it. But we sometimes do this in our informal speech. We might say something like, "Good boy, that Johnny," or something like that. It's just a little startling to hear it on the air.
Right. So, well, and you have to wonder how that came about. I mean, obviously, there are times when there's so much action that you have mm-hmm. to be conservative in the amount of language you use, or you're not going to
exactly.
be able to describe everything that's going on.
Exactly.
But then to use that same conservation of language when there's plenty of time.
Right. Well, actually, there are linguists out there who have studied this, the language of sports commentary, and they call this kind of delivery parataxis. It's a term from Greek which means placing things side by side. And in live on-air sports commentary, the speaker uses a telegraphic style. Loose sentence fragments get strung together, often without the explicit grammatical connectors we come to expect. The pronouns, conjunctions, even verbs might be missing. The announcer might say, "Strong bullpen, the Twins," as in, "The Twins have got a strong bullpen," or "Needs a walk, Jones," as in, "Jones needs a walk here." It's almost stream of consciousness.
Interesting.
And the faster the action, the more telegraphed the commentary, as in, "Line drive to McNamara, throws to Perez, batter out." Yet the listener understands this perfectly. We're used to this kind of delivery from radio days, from way back when. Even though the things we ordinarily consider crucial to the English sentence aren't there. Yet there's no trouble understanding. It's really, this kind of delivery is unique to live commentary. There's no analog to it in written English, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
It's almost a language of its own.
Well, and let's get back to some of the interesting terminology. Before we go back to the phones,
okay.
Pat, do you have another stumper on your list?
How about Zurdo, Z-U-R-D-O?
All right, Zurdo. And RJ is on the line from Urbandale. Hi, RJ.
Hi. I've been a baseball nut, and my dad was a pro baseball player, so I've heard all kinds of terms. And since I told your screener, I got a couple more, and I'll run through them.
Okay.
Dial 9.
What's that?
Dial 9 is like you dial 9 to get out.
Uh-huh.
You dial 9 to hit a home run.
Oh, hey.
Yep, okay.
Good.
You ever heard of a batter being corkscrewed?
No, what's that?
That means he swung so hard he twists himself like a corkscrew. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you ever heard the term southpaw? You probably have.
Oh, yeah. Left-hander.
Okay. Huh?
Left-hander.
You know why they say southpaw?
I don't know why.
Because normally if you look at a stadium, it's always the left side of you is pointing to the south.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the last one, my dad said, when a guy hit a really hard line drive, I mean, kind of you don't even want to catch, it's called a blue darter. You ever heard that term?
I know it from the fish.
There you go. I just thought I'd let you know.
Oh, that's great. What team did your dad play for, RJ?
He played for back in the 40s, he played for AAA teams like the Dodgers, the Yankees, the White Sox. He was really good. And when he was like in his 50s, our softball team, we'd be sure to help. He'd come in and show all of us up. It was really
oh that's
made
great.
Me real proud.
All right, RJ. Thanks
Thank
a lot
you.
For sharing.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. And we're still looking for somebody who can tell us what Zurdo means in baseball. 866-780-9100. Doug is on the line in Pleasantville. Hi, Doug.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Do you have a guess for Zurdo?
Nope. I have no idea what Zurdo is.
All right.
But mine was, you still see it on some of the old ballparks like Fenway, and I think it's still in Dodger Stadium in Chicago. Up on the wall at some point will say, "No pepper games."
No pepper games.
No pepper games.
What does that mean?
Well, pepper used to be where there would be a batter with like four people standing there, and they would just bat the ball back and forth just to sort of like practicing bunting.
Oh.
And so they would say that because what used to happen was the fans would then want to play pepper with the ball players.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
They'd throw a ball out and the batter would hit it back into the stands and back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it got really out of control and they would say, "No pepper games."
Uh-huh.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I thought that was a great term. It's always still up in a few old ballparks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Doug, thank you so much.
Yep, thanks.
All right. You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. Mike is on the line next in Waterloo. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Do you have a guess for Zerto?
No, but I guess I'm going to talk about Bush.
Okay, so we're going back to Charlie Brown, Sydney or the Bush.
Yeah, that means the Bush League small town baseball teams. Bush leagues.
All right. That's...
In my book, yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's what Scholes meant.
Okay, that still doesn't decode Sydney for us, but Mike, thanks a lot.
What did you just say?
Well, it says Sydney or the Bush, so we only know half of it.
Well, I'm pretty sure about the Bush, though.
All right, thanks a lot for your call,
Mike. That's
all
I've heard about it.
Yep.
The Bush leagues, yep.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Art is on the line next in Mason City. Hi, Art.
Hi.
Hi, do you have a guess for Zerto?
I don't. I've never heard of that phrase, but I do have a comment. Blue darter, I think I've heard that in reference to hits that Shoeless Joe Jackson made. His line drives are always called blue darters because they were hit so hard. So I think that reference goes way back to Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Interesting.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, actually, I find that here. A low line drive, blue darter. But it's dated 1983. Oh, a term was used by Donald Gropman for the line drives often hit by Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I know this one, and I don't know if you know the meaning, but if a player is punched out, do you know what that refers to? A punch out?
No. Is that getting beanballed?
No. If you're a punch out, is a strikeout.
Oh. Aha.
Is that what your book says?
Let me see. Punch out.
All right.
Punch out. Put out. The problem with looking up stuff in a dictionary is the time that it takes. Synonym for strikeout. Yeah, punch out. Synonym for strikeout.
And does it say anything about why?
Nope.
Yeah, I was curious what that came from.
The punch out. I know I punched out twice, but I really didn't feel that bad after those two at-bats. That's quoted in 2001. So this is a relatively recent. Oh, here's one. I punched him out from 1974.
Well, and here's something I found that said it's named that because the umpire will typically make a punching-like signal on the third strike.
Oh, huh.
Oh, oh, okay. That's where why they may call that a punch out. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another guess, though. This is from Catherine Perkins, who's helping us out today. She said, because when you're keeping score, the symbol for a strikeout is a K, so like a knockout.
Oh.
Oh.
That's interesting.
Oh, sure.
That's interesting.
That could be right. She should write these dictionaries.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Art. And I think we finally have an answer for Zerto. Steve is on the line in Osceola. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Charity.
Hi, what's your guess?
Well, this is an interesting story, I think. I'll be brief with it. A friend of mine went to, I think, the Planned Parenthood book sale, and he found a baseball dictionary. He knows what a baseball fan I am. Anyway, he bought this dictionary for $1. I mean, it's worth $20 to me. But anyway, so I'm looking at that dictionary, and it says a Zerto is a Spanish nickname for a lefty.
Correct.
All right.
It's used as a nickname for a Latino left-handed pitcher.
Yeah, that would make sense with what this says.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Steve. Thanks so much.
All right. Yeah, appreciate it. This is a lot of fun.
All right. You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. Do you have another stumper for us, Pat?
Let me see. How about an FDR pitch?
An FDR pitch.
Like Franklin Delano Roosevelt. FDR pitch.
All right. And Tom from Dubuque also knew what Zerto meant, but we'll try to give him a shot on an FDR pitch. Do you have one? Tom, are you there?
I guess Tom gave up.
All right. let's go to Bob in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Hi. Do you have a guess for an FDR pitch?
Well, yeah. What's a rhubarb?
Okay.
What's a rhubarb? Well, normally a rhubarb is just sort of like a brouhaha. It's a
okay. It's a brouhaha.
Let me see if there's some special name. Here it is: rhubarb. A rural district. Actually, also a ruckus with the umpire. A rhubarb. So it's a big disagreement, a fight with the umpire. Rhubarb.
Just the umpire. Because I think they've applied it to, you know, players, leagues between each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a real rhubarb out there. I've
A fight. Certain. Yeah.
Right. Fight. Okay.
Yep.
Wonder where that originates from. Why would they call it a rhubarb instead of a fight?
Well, rhubarb has often been used to mean a dispute or it's just sort of a figurative use of rhubarb.
So not exclusive to baseball?
No, no.
Okay.
All right,
well, thank
Bob.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. I still don't know why it would be used that way, but...
That's another show.
I guess so. Blake
food,
is up.
Food figurative uses.
Or maybe next time.
Yeah.
All right, Blake is on the line now from Des Moines. Hi, Blake.
Howdy. Hey, I was wondering about the word balk when a pitcher stops before he throws.
Balk?
Where that came from.
How do
I don't
you
even know
that?
How to spell it. I assume it's like B-A-K, maybe. Hopefully it's in there.
I don't know.
I was also wondering about shortstop, whiff, and ball strike and foul, too. Whiff seems like one of those onomatopoeic things, because when you swing, that'd be the sound you make.
Like swish.
Yeah,
a strike, I think, is sometimes called a swish.
Yeah.
Although in
basketball,
because you
don't,
it means you've made a
basket. You either stand there and do nothing, or you swing and you miss, as opposed to otherwise it's known used as a work stoppage or hitting someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder if you are hearing the word balk, Blake, and maybe it's not being enunciated.
Balk.
It could well be, or it could be one of those regional things of exactly that where, but it's where a pitcher stops.
A balk is...
And then the runner or the batter gets to go to first base.
Yeah, an illegal act or motion by the pitcher that the umpire deems to be an attempt to deceive a base runner into making a move. And when a balk is called, the ball is dead and the runners advance one base. It's spelled B-A-L-K.
All right. Well, that answers your question. Blake, thank you so much for your call. And we're nearly out of time. Mike is on the line next from Mason City. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Iowa City.
Okay, hi, Mike. What would you like to talk about?
The bases are loaded, ducks on the pond. Where'd that originate from?
Ducks in the pond. I don't know. Let me see if I can find it in here. Does he have a guess for FDR pitch?
All right, Mike, do you have a guess for an FDR pitch?
FDR pitch. No, low and outside.
Wait, here's ducks on the pond. Runners on the bases, as if they are bobbing about on the water, waiting for a hit to send them home. Okay. That's ducks on a pond.
All right, Mike, thank you so much. And since we're almost out of time, Pat, you're going to have to tell us what an FDR pitch is.
Okay, an FDR pitch is a wild pitch. The letters stand for fire, duck, and run.
All right, so it's not a political thing.
No.
Interesting.
No, even a Republican pitcher could pitch an FDR pitch.
Well, I certainly learned a lot today. Thank you so much, Pat.
Thank you for having me.
English language expert Patricia O'Connor. She is the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com, and she'll be back again in a couple of months. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Sarah Bowden. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Charity Nebbe. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.